Does this work? Yes. Okay, so I think we can start. This is already the closing session. We see that some people thought the closing session happened when the train was gone, but I'm happy that we still have people here, and so let's begin. So we're going to have this panel, Internationalizing Digital Learning Solutions. And after that, there's going to be a conclusion, like some sort of reflection and summary from our student journalists, however you translate it. And yeah, some discussion about the final discussion about digital learning and how to move from strategies to practices. So the idea is, well, you see our United Nations country representatives here. I'm Finland, and then we have our representatives. Maybe you can just shortly introduce yourself. At this point, your name and your country.
Yeah, I'm Lung Kai Wu from Singapore.
I'm Luis Villarejo from the Open University of Catalonia in Spain.
I'm Qasim Shanaq from United Arab Emirates.
Yuan Li from the University of Hong Kong, Hong Kong.
And Regina Strosa from Chile.
So we got quite global representation of different cultures and perspectives. And I'm Tiina Mäkelä. I've been working in SysTech since it started. And one of my focuses has been on understanding what is shared in all around the world when we talk about digital learning solutions, and on the other hand, what is country specific or culturally contextual. The challenge we have is that, well, we know that there's a huge need for effective digital solutions, but so we need something that is globally good, that is based on globally shared principles, but on the other hand, locally specific criteria and requirements. But it's not so easy to identify this kind of criteria. And not only from educational point, but also from cultural and technological point. So as to create effective learning solutions, you have to understand all these different dimensions. So what we did in this SysTech project, we invited some representatives, researchers from these countries, and we started thinking how to create this kind of evaluation framework so as to understand what is shared, what is country-specific. We also know that there are differences between, I don't know, math learning solution for children or business simulation for adults. So, but in this debate, we are not talking so much about learning solution-based differences. So we started with our Finnish and international expert. We started formulating an evaluation framework. As I mentioned, you have to pay attention on educational issues, cultural and societal issues, and also design technological issues. And this was based on first on literature review, but then after that, we discussed this together with our international experts, and there were still some changes. For example, criteria E9, non-formal and informal learning context, came as a proposal from Singapore, and D6, accessibility and functional diversity, came from Spain. So we collaboratively develop this initial framework. Okay, then we need some learning solutions to be evaluated. And in SysTech project, we had various digital learning solutions, but these were the solutions that we selected for this international evaluation. As you can see, they're very different. Math learning for children, driving simulation, band music learning, orchestra music. So, yeah, M-learning platforms, e-learning platforms, very different types of learning solutions. We wanted to start evaluating. Well, all from Finland at this point. Okay, then what we needed to do is to select a group of experts in all these countries. And yeah, the total of experts were more than 100, and they made together 165 different evaluations of these Finnish learning solutions in their countries. Little variation between countries, but anyway, these experts were experts in education, culture, technology, and educational technology. Some were researchers, some were teachers, some were school directors, master PhD students, so experts with different profile. Well, men and women, we try to have equal number of them. So what we asked, so you remember we had this framework, different questions. We asked these experts to rate numerically whether they think these Finnish learning solutions match with their local context. And then we asked, okay, justify your rating. Why did you give one, or why did you give four? And then we also asked them to recommend some areas for further improvement if they thought, okay, you could maybe improve this aspect. By the way, we also wanted to do the same evaluation in Finland, because we wanted to see if Finnish experts evaluate Finnish solutions, what's the reaction. So we wanted to know whether it's actually because there are international country-based differences, or is it just like a general opinion of these learning solutions. Then we started with our partners organizing these evaluation sessions. It was coordinated by the local research partners. Sometimes we organize these evaluations as workshops, everybody together. Sometimes experts did it in isolation and by themselves. The evaluation framework was in English, but then in some cases we translated, for example, in Spanish, so as to help the understanding, and also in Arabic, in United Arab Emirates, support was given in local language, for example. Okay, so these experts evaluated Finnish learning solutions, and after that we started analyzing the data. Remember, we had numbers, ratings from 1 to 4, and then we had these open-ended questions. So we analyzed, we were coding like how many times this theme is mentioned, for example, in general, or in Hong Kong, or in Spain. And then we tried to, we are still in the process of analyzing the data, because, today we just discussed about initial observations of it. So we started comparing the numeric results with what people actually say, and so now we're trying to understand what's there. So this was like the introduction, so as to understand the part of the study. And now I think we could start. The idea is that we could discuss these results together. As you remember, there were educational part, and then cultural part, and technological part. So we try to get some discussion out of these three different dimensions. Maybe I should come there. Okay, hello. And yeah, maybe we don't agree with all the results, because we were just analyzing this morning. So that you understand, we are still interpreting, analyzing the data. Can you hear me okay? Yeah. Okay. Blended learning. First of all, we were just checking overall numeric results, and we noticed that, for example, educational aspects got the lowest numeric ratings. Today we were discussing whether it means that educational aspects are the most challenging, and then cultural aspects the least challenging. Any comments from our panelists or at this point? Hey, feel then free to just to comment anything.
Well, today one of the things that we were saying was that Talking about the general figures is difficult to extract conclusions that that you can apply to specific things. Like, for example, here we have a mix of different solutions. Solutions to learn mathematics, for example, solutions to learn music, for example. And this may imply some inner constraints that may give different results depending on the topic that you go on. But what it's really interesting is to analyze the rich amount of data that we had in the qualitative aspects also, because as Tina has just said, we ask the evaluators to give us quantitative data, rating, for example, the suitability of the solutions for their context in different aspects, but also to justify these answers with open text. And in this analysis in which I think we will have the most values data for the study.
Yeah, we were discussing about the importance of numeric results, and they can guide the interpretation. We can see some trends, but in fact, it's true that what people actually said in open-ended questions was the richest part. Here we noticed, for example, that Finland and South Korea had the highest average ratings. Well, it's kind of nice that if Finns evaluate Finnish solutions, they give high ratings. But then actually there are sometimes more questions than answers. Like, why South Korea? We don't know. So sometimes we just have more questions. And this is something we should analyze, whether there's a statistical whether the difference is actually statistically significant. So anyway, I think we can go now to these different parts. And this again, this is the numeric results from the educational part. Here what we saw, that the non-formal and informal learning context seemed to be like easier. Well, that it was easier to match learning solutions to informal context, let's say extracurricular learning, than to educational system. So this is initial idea that you can see from these data, and you can also see that the assessment adapting solutions to assessment system seems to be most challenging. But again, they are only initial trends, numeric trends, that we need more information to understand why. Any comments at this point?
Yes, I think apart from this, the background from the experts is also important, because some from the research area, some from the practitioner areas, such as teachers, they maybe have differences in the ratings. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to say also about the education, teaching, and learning, and most of concern sometimes with learning solutions related to the culture and to the language by itself. So might this cause some variance among countries and among experts, evaluators in this case, and we find these kind of issues going across all parts of the learning solutions.
Enrique?
Yeah, hello. Thank you very much.
Sorry, I used the first name.
Yeah, never mind. That's
we
okay.
Got it.
I find these results very interesting. And actually, there are two things that, in general, I think we can have a lot of questions based on these results rather than straightforward answers. As Tina said, we are just in the process of analyzing data. But, for example, one question for the previous slide is, why do we have cultural aspects so highly rated compared to educational aspects when educational culture are very much related in each country, So that's one question we can ask the data to answer us afterwards, probably. And also in this slide here, is this suitability to non-formal and informal learning context an indication that teachers that evaluated the software prefer to push the software outside the school? Or is that really that the software was not suitable to be used inside the school as in a regular classroom? That type of questions, I think, should be asked to the data, if we can find answers there.
Yeah. Like, we are in the beginning of the analysis. At the moment, we have lots of questions to ask. And we have to also remember this was expert evaluations, so evaluations from people that know a lot about these issues, but what actually happens when we go into the classroom. And so pilot studies are definitely needed. We can't just rely on expert opinion, but we have to go and test these solutions. Maybe the next round will be that we actually test the solutions.
Yeah, Tina, actually, we did a pilot study for one of the learning solution, and it was focusing this learning solution in 21st century skills. And the result that they came out from this pilot study, we need to have more interactive, and the students, they can add, and they have their chatting, they have their opinion, they can communicate with each other, and also they have the ability to download and add the profiles. All of these came as part. And the other issues related with avatars and characters within each learning solution, particularly with this one, because we need some avatars that match with our culture and context and something like this. So students will be more engaged in this case, and the recommendation we're given to this, company in order to develop their learning solution to match with our context.
Mm-hmm. I think this is if you don't mind, just to move on, this is a nice bridge to this next slide. Because now we forget the numbers, and now we go to what people actually said. And so we were coding the frequencies. We noticed that there were 93 comments related to something that is not completely suitable from our educational system perspective, and 49 comments saying it's suitable. And these are examples of things people said, and we could just, for example, from the UAA, one evaluator said that it's not suitable for our conservative education system. So maybe, Kazim, you could just continue and comment on that. What do you think it means?
Yeah. I think, what does it mean for us? As an example, if we have a picture of, boy and girl students sitting together and chatting, and in the Finnish context and the Arabian context is so normal. But in our context, it's completely unaccepted, this kind of photos. And this might get rejection from the community. So we don't need to have these kind of traditions that work properly in the Western culture might contradict with the Eastern culture in this case, especially in an Islamic country. And maybe our schools, especially in the Gulf area, are segregated, boys and girls, after grade 4. So we can't introduce this kind of learning solutions. Even if there is teeny tiny issues, the Ministry of Education will object us and will put this learning solution on the blacklisted.
Yeah, so that's why before implementing any of these learning solutions, it's very important that you evaluate what is not appropriate to your system, to your culture. Maybe for the sake of the time, we move on. Here are some people also commented the suitability or compatibility to different ways of teaching and learning. And here, people oftentimes mention that they're suitable to self-directed learning, learning beyond the classroom, interactive learning, and collaborative learning. These are examples of comments that experts came. And this was quite evenly from all countries. Here I have one example from Spain saying that this band music learning seemed to be addressed to end users who want to learn by themselves. And then another example from Singapore, case studies and decision-making skills through teamwork and collaboration is an effective and meaningful way to learn. I don't know, are you thinking of commenting something?
From this kind of result, we can actually Singapore is a quite open nation. It means that it welcomes different kinds of learning solutions to come in, and it really have a very open-ended, open-minded. It's very open-minded to the foreign solutions to come in, and the need for localization is relatively less if you these solutions go to other countries. Okay, and for this collaborative learning, it's no wonder for me to see this kind of a comment, because collaborative learning has been emphasized in the education system, and it's good for the people there to see such a solution that can accommodate or can leverage the power of collaborative learning in a situated, in an embodied way. So I think it's a reasonable comment from the context of Singapore.
Thanks for validating the data. Yeah. And actually, there are a couple of questions what we were discussing also together this morning. That because one thing is what we prefer, the ideals, and it was the same everywhere. We want our learning to be self-directed, beyond the classroom, interactive, collaborative. But then we discussed a little bit what actually happens in the classroom. I don't know if somebody wants to comment. Do you think, because this is expert opinion, we want this kind of learning, but do you think, is this actually happening in your school system? Any comments on that?
I think for Hong Kong, it is actually happening because all these are the 21st century skills, and our governments have great emphasis on this, and it actually is implemented in the classroom levels right now.
Okay.
I think that the situation in Spain is that as a goal, there are many people that have this in mind. But right now you cannot say that as a global trend, everyone is going through this. These are dynamics that are hard to change in short periods of time. But we will see later some examples in which we saw how present this is. Yep. in the opinion of the evaluators, but still it's difficult to change it globally in a short period of time. So there are agents that are that have this in mind, and it's very present. But then there is a lot of way to go still.
Yeah, correct. So again, in order to know whether this actually takes place, we maybe need some ethnography. We have to go into the classroom to see what. So there's but this is the direction I think all of our countries are going and aiming. So similar objectives, shared principles.
Can I comment
there? Chile, please.
Yeah, Chile. Basically, what we have seen in the research in the schools in Chile is that in many cases what teachers do is delegate the learning or the teaching to the internet or software and so on, which happens outside the classroom. That could be called self-directed learning. However, they do not mediate the process, not the results. So in this way, I think we need to... I agree that the data is showing that teachers probably and experts say, okay, this is suitable for this. But how this will happen is a different question.
Yes, I agree. That means how the teachers interpret those 21st century skills, it is in importance. And are there any varieties between them? So,
yeah. Interesting. More questions to ask. Yeah, it happens often. The results give you more questions than answers. I think we can now go to this slide, because we are already talking about these cross-curricular competencies, 21st century skills, and so on. There were 58 evaluators, experts, that commented the need for these skills. And what was interesting that out of these 55 comments, 21 came from Spain. So maybe, Luis, maybe Spain or Catalonia wants to comment something for that.
Yes, these days we were commenting with Maria, my colleague from Spain, that in Spain in the last years there has been a lot of efforts to equip the schools, the classrooms, with the tools, with the equipment that can facilitate the development of these competencies. But we were seeing that it's been there's been a kind of imbalance between the investment done in this kind of equipment and the changes in methodology, for example, that should accompany this this investment, because it's always a binomy. If you invest in equipment but you don't change the methodology and you are applying the same methodology you were applying before, you don't really get to use the full potential of it. So this is one of the things that we think that it should be further working or investigating.
But clearly there is in Spain, my other leg is in Spain, so this tendency, the cross-cultural skills are really spoken and in the strategies and in the curriculum. But in what we discussed, this happens also everywhere. So it's not only Spain, but also Spain. Any comments here? Or
I want to add, like, teachers and policymakers, they are forcing teachers and schools to implement 21st century skills. And they ask, we need blah, 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 blah. And there is no specific directions for school principals, for teachers, how to implement 21st century skills. So teachers, I think, they get frustrated from these issues because they need concrete, guidance and evidence and learning solution by which they can create a blended learning environment that will help them to improve their students' learning.
Yeah, so that we can move from talking about this to actually doing it.
From talking to action.
Mm-hmm.
Also, apart from this, also the evaluation, the assessment is also important. Yeah.
Sure, something we have during this seminar already discussed how to assess. If you don't mind, because time is limited, we are now at the end of this educational part. Just to show the recommendations, they were also very related to these comments. So collaborative learning was, there were also comments that learning solutions should have more collaborative action, more interaction, more personalization, self-directed learning, and 21st century skills. So evaluators saw that these solutions had something related to that, but they still definitely need to improve these aspects. But maybe we could just go to the culture part, so we have time to talk about all different parts. So in culture and society, so we ask things related to ethnicity, language, gender, more cultural aspects. And here again, the numeric formatting was considered as very suitable, which is kind of common sense, but then the language issue was the most difficult issue. So these numeric trends already show that we have to pay attention on language. It sounds like absolutely, common sense thing, but maybe sometimes we assume that people speak, for example, English everywhere, because these solutions were in English. Any comments at that point related to these numbers? Or maybe we go to actual what they actually said. Again, numeric trends can support the interpretation, but what people actually said in this case was maybe more rich.
Tina, I want to add one quick point or one quick recommendation for, learning solution developers and companies. In order to compete in the global setting, you need to have diverse language within your learning solution. Otherwise, you will be kept working within the local setting.
Yeah, diversity was
an important issue.
Yeah, and actually, when we quote what people said, one thing what they ask is they were valuing is if the learning solution is diverse in different sense. Here, so they were saying it's suitable or not completely suitable, neutral, not familiar, diverse. These were the comments that came from the evaluators. And when we, just very generic big pictures, when we check these, compared these between countries, the most comments related to suitable, neutral, or diverse came from Finland. Well, that's also a nice result because we were evaluating Finnish solutions.
Yeah.
But sometimes Finnish people might see something as neutral, blonde people with blue eyes, ooh, neutral. But yeah, then if an evaluator from the Arabic countries, for example, it's not neutral. So yeah, we have to be aware of this cultural difference. And the most of the negative comments related to cultural differences or not matching issues came from the UAE. You want to comment something about that?
Yeah, I want to comment on that, but I want to make some comments on my colleagues from Singapore.
Uh-huh.
In Singapore, we have open minds, and we are open for any learning solution. It's not a matter of open minds. Personally, I have open minds. I studied in the USA and visited many Western countries here and there, and have strong networking and relationships. And you know me for 4 years from now. But it comes to something that contradicts with my language, with my religion, with my culture, I am opposed of this learning solution. I'm not going to recommend this learning solution to my children to be educated by this type of learning solution, even if I have open mind. So this is not a matter of open mind.
Yeah.
You need to, in order to be accepted within, a global setting, you need to be have filters to be sensitive for culture differences. Otherwise, you can't go through this filtration process.
Do you remember some examples, just what kind of elements were conflicting?
Like, as an example, some pictures, they show maybe dating.
Mm.
Dating in the Western culture is something normal, and family, they encourage that. In our culture, we can't, under any condition, accept this kind of concept. So how am I going to ask my children to go through this learning solution, even they are going to have their open mind, they have their thinking skills and knowledge and advanced knowledge, all of this issue. But by the end, they are going to gain a new culture that contradicts with my culture, which is I am opposed to.
Yeah. Thank you. Chile wants to continue.
Because, although I will give an example because it isn't exactly of this project, but many years ago we started to develop educational software also that was supposed to be a language software to mix the indigenous culture with a sort of Chilean culture. And that indigenous culture was a minority in the region I live. So we as foreigners in that culture, we started to develop software and included some pictures of birds, these very small birds that wing very fast and take from the flowers. Okay. So we went to the school with the software and nobody wanted to use it. Why? Because that bird in that culture was of bad luck. So we didn't know that.
Yeah.
So that's why, and exactly this cultural minorities, not only the countries, but also the groups inside the countries should be respected because probably they are the most needed in terms of educational aid.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. One comment.
I think I want to comment about the diversity because diversity is still a key concern when a learning solution is aiming to a nation. For example, for Singapore has the population of Chinese, of Malay, of Indians. So you can see there's really a diverse culture across the population. So it means that a learning solution should have some considerations, should have some plans when you are targeting with that market. You need to do some analysis before you come to that market.
Oh, it's yeah, the diversity. I visited Singapore, and at school you can choose like different ethnic food. So you can, depending on your ethnic background, you choose the food you want to eat. And yeah, and then the language is, you okay, Singapore is diverse, but we could maybe just mention what languages are spoken in each country. Well, for the case of Spain, for example.
Yes, for example, this is a big issue in Spain. If you want to reach the, as much audience as you want, you will have to translate your learning solution to all the official languages that we have, which are five. And this is important because depending on the availability of these languages, you will be able to reach some users or not. So it's definitely
Spanish,
an issue.
Catalan, Galician.
Galician, Basque.
Basque.
Also.
Something else. Languages in Chile, can you mention some?
Yeah. Actually, Mapudungun is the Aborigine language of in the region I live. And in the north of Chile, they have also different languages.
Mapuche.
Mapuche in my region, Aymara, and other languages in the
so
north.
So don't think Spanish-speaking countries are only Spanish-speaking. Yeah. Considered a lot. And what about the situation in Hong Kong?
It is Cantonese and Mandarin as well as English.
Yeah, so yes. Don't assume that you can go to Hong Kong with English only. Yeah. So these are, yeah, and in your country.
Okay, as I mentioned in my presentation yesterday, like we have at the school level, we have 17 different curricula. And we have English, we have French, we have Finnish nowadays. We have Pakistanis, Indians, Arabic. So this is at the school level. At the university level, now, my university is supposed to teach in Arabic, but the language of instruction is in English.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to ask this question, is this the proper language for instruction for our students? I think the language is not a media of communication. Language is an environment of thinking skills by itself. So it's good to be taught in your mother tongue language instead of any other language, but we have heterogeneous languages.
Yeah. So what would be the recommendation for designers related to language?
For what?
So what would we recommend for designers?
For designers, I guess mostly if you are talking not about UAE, if you are talking about Arab countries, you are talking about 200 million people over there, I recommend Arabic first, then English.
Yeah, so maybe Spanish first, then Mapuche. Or, I mean, of course, you have limited resources. So anyway, this language was huge, and it was commented everywhere, and I think it really deserves deeper analysis and recommendations. One thing related to culture, and then we jump to D section. You wanted to comment?
No, I just because talk about language in Singapore is like definitely if you use the English version, it was the best choice. Even in Singapore, there are English, the Mandarin, there is Tamil, there is Malay. So but the English is still a common English across all the races. So I think if you are targeting at the Singapore market, English is still the best choice.
Mm-hmm. But the best way to design is to have local languages, but English option as well. So, because English is also spoken, so have them all available if you can.
Mm. Eventually, for the designers, software designers, etc., recommendation would be to explore the policies related to the language of instruction, which is a big area of research and development, especially in the developing world, where you have these tensions and from one day to another they change from English to French. For example, and you need to adapt, etc.
You have to understand, yes. Okay, to finish this part related to culture, I just wanted to read this one citation because I think it's beautiful. I don't know who was our expert who said that, but it says that in Finland, the number of immigrant children has increased in schools, so it would be nice if girls can choose a whale for their avatars. I think it's a nice example of the multiculturality and diversity, and so that it, yeah, also in Finland we could think of this aspect and consider our ethnic minorities, both traditional and new, due to the immigrants, right?
I want to comment on that. Based on our visit to the school 2 days ago, okay, and it was a comprehensive school and a new school in Jyväskylä. I don't know how to pronounce the name of this. I give you the name of the school. Hosta? Hosta?
Hohta? Huhtasuo,
of course. Yeah. Yeah, you were with us on that visit. And really, the number of students in this school is about like 780 students. And they have minorities, like 100 disabled students, around 100. And they have minorities with different religions. They have 30 different religions represented in this school. And which was amazing from my point of view. They offer, like, if they have 3 Muslim students, they will offer a teacher to teach those students religion class. And if they have other religions, also if they have, they can taught their own native language in addition to the Finnish language. From my point of view, this is the first school that I saw in my life that accommodates students' special needs from diverse background.
Yeah, I think that's a nice comment that makes us think, okay, we've been thinking the adaptation from one country to another country, but within a country, we have this ethnic diversity. Mm-hmm. So, in fact, if we design solutions that take care of this diversity also within the country, then it's also easier to move to other countries. So we should, like, have this idea of diversity as a guiding principle. With learning technology and content. But if you don't mind, we could go now to the design part. So more design-related question, more technology-related questions. And, well, here just an example. There was this criteria D6, accessibility and functional diversity means, like, people with special needs, visual challenges, hearing challenges. I don't know what's the politically correct way to say, but maybe Lewis, you could comment that, because so when they were evaluated, and this came from all countries quite evenly, so there's this challenge, because your university works with these issues. Yes. So maybe you could comment something generic. What should we, or designers, consider?
Yeah, in my particular case, in our university, we have the highest degree of students with some kind of functional diversity, like visual impairment, for example, or motor impairment, so they cannot operate the mouse, for example. And then we always design our solutions taking into account accessibility rules. And it's very easy because there are standards. For example, for web solutions, there are standards from the W3C consortium that really defines all the steps that you have to achieve in order to provide accessible solutions. And this is one of the items that we have been looking at in this project, which once you deal with it and achieve a solution which is accessible, it's accessible across countries. So there are some issues that you have to look into detail for each country, for each culture, but accessibility, once you have worked it, it works for all countries. So it's something that will help your solution to reach a much wider audience, and that you will not have to kind of personalize for each country you are targeting at.
Mm-hmm. So it could be like this shared principle for all, access for all, universal principle in that sense. So let's not go too deep into the numbers, because we were interested in what people said. Well, and the numbers supported this comment. In general, when we ask about the compatibility or suitability or whatever word we want to use, they were quite equally. So this is the gray one is like good, suitable, okay, positive, and the red one is negative, not so suitable, not so good. And so it was quite, we got quite a lot of comments, both positive and negative, to these learning solutions. With infrastructure, internet technology, there were, quite a lot of positive comments, but also negative. Navigation and structure, equally. Usability, there were also quite positive, so these are quite positive comments, but also things to improve. And in attractiveness, but again, with this data, for example, we have to look for each learning solution because there were lots of differences between the learning solutions and their usability. Any comments here? Nope, that's clear. Yeah, so let's go to examples. On the positive side, most comments related to like that these learning solutions match well with our local infrastructure came from the UAA. So I think it's the UAA that can maybe interpret us the data. Why do you think that they don't? Well, it says here, United Arab Emirates infrastructure is well prepared for such technology. Yeah, so how is
it? I guess this is issue related with the policymaker and decision maker at the government level. So the cabinet, they force the country to be like a smart country, smart city, smart school, smart classroom, and nowadays we have smart learning initiatives. So they spend too much money on infrastructure. And we have high tech inside our classrooms, like I can use AirPlay, I can go around inside my classroom with my laptop and my apps and everything, and I have Blackboard as a learning management system. All of these are free for use inside, outside. So whenever you go inside the campus, it's completely covered 100%. Here, if you need to have access, okay, you need to have a username, password, and so blah, 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 blah. In our university, even if you are a guest, you can enter as a guest and you can use, you have easily access to that. But the idea is not to have two or enrich infrastructure. The idea, we need to train teachers, we need to train instructors to be familiar in ways and methods by which they are going to implement these kind of strategies to improve students' learning. So I guess we are still a way behind. We have advanced infrastructure, but our teachers in integrating technology and technology in teaching and learning is still in this level. So we need to design professional development courses for teachers in service to come to this level. In service teachers and our students, they have advanced knowledge and skills in integrating technology in learning more than their instructors. And I guess this is common across other countries too.
We can take that general comment from other countries, but maybe before that, so we were talking about the positive side of good infrastructure. Well, it's good to have good infrastructure. But then when we go to, the more negative comments, most of the negative comments related to suitability and infrastructure came from Chile. So maybe we could take a comment from reality.
Yeah, I know this, have 5 minutes, so a quick comment. One of the points is that...
He's very good with timing.
Yeah.
As a surprise from the Spanish-speaking country.
Your background, you see.
That was a topic.
The point in Chile is that the unequal distribution of infrastructure, and in particular to access to internet. So you will have very fast and good access in the main cities, and it decays if you go to smaller towns, etc., and becomes more or less zero in very rural areas. So if you have a learning solution that is heavily dependent on online videos and so on, it won't be useful in all the countries. And again, it's a matter of equity to provide solutions that students in remote areas can also use. So that's a big issue in Chile, because we have also very big differences in terms of educational outcomes.
Something to consider, what we learned, that have offline version, maybe not always have the latest technology or at least have the... Well, this is the picture actually from the classroom I visited. It's beautiful that they have computers there, but maybe not the latest stuff works there. Yeah. So consider that. Okay, these were some of the recommendations from the design part, adding visuals and multimedia, improving usability, user-friendliness, implementing, well, the mobile platforms. This is something, do you agree, that happens everywhere? Things are more and more in tablets and in mobile solutions, so we have to consider that. More adaptivity, social features, access. Yes, we are in the very end of our panel. I think we were agreeing too much. We didn't have this, what we had before the panel. We disagreed much more. Yeah. You were kind of polite. This is the cultural issue to be polite. Maybe related to this technological design part, or maybe a short comment from Hong Kong and Singapore, because I try to calculate that everybody can say more or less equally, and I think you've been more quiet, so for the sake of equity. Singapore.
For the Singapore's comments, to add in some kind of the call for help, show to the teacher, or show to the share the working with the peers. So it's definitely from the perspective of collaborative learning. So it shows the emphasis of Singapore's plan in MP3 plan in collaborative learning. So because I know that the participants here are mostly from the researchers, so we are deeply influenced by the national policy of Singapore. So we know that the school or the students really lead such functionalities in helping them to help each other in classroom, or to get the scaffoldings from the teachers. So this kind of functions in collaboration is very important in Singapore context.
Okay, and a comment from Hong Kong.
Yes, for Hong Kong, the infrastructure one, it is we are going to the mobile technologies because we think that within this new 21st century, we need to have learning inside and beyond the classroom, so that more and more mobile technologies and as well as pedagogies are emerging in the classroom.
Tina, if you let me, just a very small, and it also allows you not to be at the same level as technology is evolving, but also to conceptualize better your solutions. Because if you think first for mobile solutions, you drop out what is important from what is not important, because you have reduced the space. You have to focus very, very broadly in what is important for you. And then when you have your solutions conceptualized for mobile devices, you can go to other spaces like desktop, and the solutions that you came up are normally better than if you designed them directly to the desktop, because this mobile restriction makes you do an extra effort in it. Yeah. So it's also interesting. Yeah.
That's at the moment before we have something like in the air without any technological equipment, but this is where we are at the moment everywhere. Okay, just the concluding words. I think I had too many, because the idea of this was to seek principles for not only for developers, because teacher can be also a developer. It's about being conscious of differences, similarities and differences in education, in culture, and in technological design. So we have a very rich data we keep on analyzing. Today we discussed how to continue, what kind of a analysis we can make, and in the future we really hope that these results can support both the developers but also the teachers and anyone working, students, anyone working with learning technologies. So I think it's our time. We can then continue disagreeing later. But no, I think Hannah wants to take the stage? You look like that, right? Or anyone else? Or do we have? Yeah, do we have a? Sorry, I didn't understand. What if we or? Do you want any? Yeah, because I know we there's a time limit. So, any questions from the audience? I think no, not at this point. So afterwards, after when we finish everything, we can. I think it's pretty much here. We could close this by clapping our hands, right? Yeah. Otherwise, we continue discussing and discussing.
Thank you, Kina.
Thanks.
You did a great job.
Yeah. Thank you so much to our panelists.
Hello.
Okay, so our day is closing, and we only have a little time for some conclusions. We have had student reporters here all through the seminar, and now they are ready to show what they learned about digital learning environments. They are Ilona, Maiju, Ilkka, and Markku. Please join me out here. I've been very, very happy with these four. They have been so innovative and self-sufficient in their work. They have absolutely showed that they are professionals as reporters. And now I will give the floor to them. You can use the microphones there.
Joo, terve vaan. Ja me oltiin, tai olin tuolla HIPSU, eli varhaiskasvatus. Tämä oikein. Joo, tuossa. HIPSUssa ja miten tämä toimii? Onko se päällä? No niin, nyt hyvä. Tämä uskoo yhdestä painalluksesta. Ja. No. Eli siinä oli tuommoisia periaatteita digitaalisten laitteiden käytöstä tuossa Eskari ja ei Eskari ikäisille. Ja siinä sitten oli että niin kuin periaatteena on ollut se, että siellä ainoastaan Eskari ikäisille voi olla käytössä tämmöiset iPadit, millä ne sitten niin kuin pelailee ja leikkii niillä. Mutta siinä on sitten tullut semmoinen haittatekijä, että sitten nämä ei Eskari ikäiset, niin ne sitten tulee sinne selän taakse kahtomaan niitä, mitä ne tekee. Ja siitä sitten tulee tietenkin, että nämä ei-eskari-ikäiset niin rupesi vaatimaan, että heillekin pitää saada tämmöiset laitteet. Että kun niillä ei ole niin mitään tekemistä olevina. Ja no sitten nämä vanhempien mielipiteet kyllä sitten jakautuivat aika lailla, että nämä ei Eskari-ikäisten vanhemmat sanoivat, että ei ollenkaan tämmöisiä laitteita, että ei samassa tilassakaan saisi olla. Mutta sitten kun kysyttiin sitä asiaa niin kuin näiltä päiväkodin niin kuin näiltä eskari-ikäisiltä ja sitten vanhemmilta, että niin kuin voisiko ne niin kuin käyttää niitä iPadeja siellä päiväkodissa, niin nämä vanhemmat oli niin kuin sitä mieltä, että ei mitään pelejä iPadille, että kaikki oli sitä mieltä, mutta kaikki lapset taas oli sitä mieltä, että totta kai niitä pitää siellä sitten olla käytössä. Ja nyt sitten on, että niin kuin missä mennään, että tämä käyttö siellä varhaiskasvatuksessa, niin kyllä se niin kuin auttaa sitä pelaamista ja niin kuin, tämmöinen niin kuin digitaalisuus, niin se on niin kuin tulossa siellä, että kyllä se niin kuin auttaa niin kuin tähän niin kuin leikkimiseen ja tämmöiseen olemiseen. Ja toi digiaika, mikä sinne sitten on mainittu, niin tuntuu siltä, että et nuo lapset kyllä elää jo digiajassa, mutta nämä kasvattajat on vielä niin kuin jossain muussa ajassa täysin. Ja Paananen käsin tätä piti tämän luennon, niin arveli, että sitten nämä oppilaitossa kyllä ruvetaan tekemään niin kuin runsaasti tämmöisiä väitöskirjoja jopa sitten tähän asiaan liittyen. No sitten tuo asenneilmasto, ja tuossa on mainittu, niin tuo IC-tuki tässä pedagogisessa varhaiskasvatuksessa niin on 80/20. Eli tätä IT-tukea niin kun ne tarvii 80% sitä ajasta, mutta 20% ainoastaan sitten tähän, niin kun, tähän kasvatukseen. Ja ne toivoisi, että olisi niin toistepäin, että ne pystyisi 80% käyttää siihen kasvatukseen ja vaan 20% olisi sitten siihen IC-tukeen. Eli siellä niin täytyy niin henkilöstön sisällä tehdä niin ihan koulutusta. Sitä on kyllä ollut siellä tarjollakin, mutta aika sitten ei taho siellä oikein riittää. No joo, sitten on tuommoinen kuin medialeikiksi ja leikkimediaksi. Eli nämä nuoret tai lapset siellä nyt sitten on niin kuin median tekijöinä ja katselijoina siellä. Ja nyt siinä, mikä on tullut ongelmana sitten näissä päiväkodeissa, että miten ja minne sitä tietoa sitten tallennetaan. No sitten siinä on ratkaisumenetiksi ollut sitten muutamia tuommoisia, että on Google-koulutuspalvelut, Office 365 ja Pedanet. No näistä nyt ei tässä sen enempää kyllä, mutta perusideana siellä nyt on se, että näillä päiväkodeilla kaikilla olisi niin kuin oma nettisivusto. Ja siellä sitten vielä jokaisella ryhmällä, mitä siellä sitten onkaan ryhmiä, niin oma työskentelyalue. Ja sitten vanhempien toiveiden mukaan sitten nämä sivut, mitä siellä on, eli siellä on mediaa ja tiedostoja ja kaikkea kuvia, ennen kaikkea kuvia ja kuvia on, niin vanhempien niin kuin toiveiden mukaan sitten niitä joko ne on julkisia tai sitten ne on täysin siellä sitten niin kuin salattuja. Että se on, niin kuin, on mahdollisuuksia sitten noiden suojauksia ja luotuksia mukaan sitten tehdä näitä.
No, siinä on muutama ajatus, mitä mulla heräsi tämän seminaarin aikana. Se tuli aika monessa kohti selväksi, että tämä digitalisaatio se edellyttää synergiaa koulujen ja oppimisteknologiayritysten välillä, ja sitä yhteistyötä toivoisi kovasti, ja opettajille semmoista niin kuin tutkivaa asennetta siihen omaan työhön ja sitten myöskin semmoista kehittävää, niin kuin, että ymmärrettäisiin ne oppimisteknologia semmoiseksi työkaluksi, jota sitten kommentoimalla ja yhteistyössä sen yrityksen kanssa, niin niillä päästäisiin sitten pitkälle. No sitten olin siellä työpajassa, josta puhuttiin oppimisympäristöstä. Ja heräsi siellä sitten semmoinen ajatus, että, tai pohdin siinä sitten sitä, että mikä jotenkin omassa opettajakoulutuksessa, kun on juuri valmistunut, se jotenkin jäi aika niin kuin huonosti käsitellyksi se, että miten siitä oppimistilasta ihan fyysisillä asioilla saisi rakennettua semmoisen niin kuin oppimista tukevan ympäristön. Ja sitten ajattelin sitä, että opettajan koulutukseen pitäisi saada vähän vahvempi semmoinen praktinen näkökulma, ja toivoisin sitä lisää. Ja no joo, sitten tämmöinen pieni yhteenveto vielä siellä, että näissä digitalisaatiossa ja digiaskeleissa ja kaikessa sen oppimisympäristön suunnittelussa niin pitäisi opettajien ääntä kuulla, ja opettajien kannattaisi olla siinä niin kuin rohkeasti sanomassa niitä omia ajatuksiaan, että mikä toimii ja mikä ei toimi. Semmoisia ajatuksia ja mietteitä minulla.
Ja mä sitten viimeisenä, koska Iikalta lähti ääni. Ja tiivistin oikeastaan sen ajatuksen, mitä tässä seminaarin aikana mietin, niin kahteen lauseeseen. Kaksi semmoista asiaa, mitkä mä ehkä tulevana opettajana haluaisin viedä töihin sitten, kun täältä joskus valmistun. Niin tee yhteistyötä, uskalla kokeilla ja älä pelkää, että mokaat. Digitaalisuus on enemmän mahdollisuus kuin uhka. Ja tuossa aikaisemmin päivällä ja monta kertaa ollaan kuultu, että esimerkiksi videoiden tekeminen on koululaisille paljon luontevampaa kuin meille. Niin katsotaan, miten luontevalta se meillä näytti. Täällä on aika paljon seminaariosallistujia myös kuvissa. Löydetään, mitenkäs tämä valitaan.
Sovelluksia, joiden avulla voi ideoida koulun teemapäiviä, sovelluksia, joilla voi opiskella matematiikkaa ja sovelluksia, joilla voi rajoittaa internetin käyttöä kokeiden aikana. Ja sitten on pelejä. Mitä kaikkea pelaamalla voi oppia?
Pelaamalla voi oppia itse asiassa mitä tahansa aineita. Eli voi oppia liikkumaan omassa ympäristössään, voi oppia kartasta, voi oppia liikkumaan, voi oppia suunnistamaan.
No, pelaamalla voi oppia vaikka kertomaan kaverille kaverin hyvistä puolista.
Tämä peli on sellainen, että tässä pitää ratkaista erilaisia sosiaalisia tilanteita ja tässä harjoitellaan tunteiden tunnistamista kuvista ja puheesta ja tässä on erilaisia tunnesanastoharjoituksia.
Mitä hyvää digitaalisuus tuo oppimiseen?
Kaikkiallisuuden. Lyhyesti sanottuna, mutta digitaalisuus tekee sen, että niin kuin oppiminen on mahdollista aina, kenen kanssa tahansa, missä tahansa.
No, mun opettajakokemuksen mukaan se on tuonut ainakin mun opetukseen ja siihen työntekoon, niin se on mulle opettajana aikaa säästävä työkalu, mutta se on tehnyt sitä oppilaan ajattelua ja oppimisprosessia myöskin mulle näkyvämmäksi. Se lisännyt myös sitä oppilaan yhteistä tekemistä siellä luokassa huomattavasti, etenkin mobiililaitteiden kautta.
No, digitaalisuus mahdollistaa sen, että opiskelija voi opiskella myös kotoa käsin.
Luo mahdollisuuden yhdistää, tehdä oppiaineiden välistä yhteistyötä, eheyttää oppimista, toteuttaa monialaisia oppimiskokonaisuuksia.
No, digitaalisuus on meidän arjessa läsnä joka tapauksessa ja koulun pitäisi kuitenkin valmentaa meitä myös oikeaan elämään ja tulevaisuuteen, niin silloin se digitaalisuus on se yksi oikea elämäväline, minkä käyttöä me harjoitellaan ja minkä avulla me toisaalta pitää myös niitä oppiainekohtaisia sisältöjä.
Kiitos.
No niin, kiitos paljon meidän opiskelijatoimittajille. Tosi kiva kuvamateriaalia. Mä halusin tähän ihan seminaarin loppuun vielä sanoa, että sen takia me pyydettiin toimittajia paikalle ja yritettiin itsekin dokumentoida, että tämä seminaari ei jäisi näihin kahteen päivään, vaan että tämä olisi jatkossakin nähtävillä ja koettavissa vielä verkossa, koska no, eletään digiajassa. Tietenkin se tärkeä kohta tässä on myös se, että kaikki ei päässyt paikalle, joten meidän läsnä olevien tehtävänä on sitten jakaa näitä ajatuksia vielä eteenpäin. Tähän on erilaisia keinoja. Systeemiset oppimisratkaisut -hankkeella, joka oli tässä seminaarissa järjestäjänä, niin on oma YouTube-kanava, mistä löytyy esimerkiksi nämä äskeiset videot sekä joitain muita videoita, mitä on täällä nähty. Sitten meillä on nämä yhteiset ohjelmat on videoitu, tämäkin videoidaan tällä hetkellä, ja näitä voi levittää sitten kaikille omille yhteistyökumppaneille, ja linkit laitetaan sinne meidän verkkosivuille. Sinne laitetaan myös valokuvia ja yhteisiä tämmöisiä nostoja sitten näistä yhteisistä ohjelmista. Aivan. Viimeinen slaidi. Koko seminaarin viimeinen slaidi on nyt käsillä, ja siinä lukee todella iso kiitos. A huge thank you for everyone who participated to our seminar. Let's give ourselves a big hand and have a very safe journey home.